Hello, welcome to Adventures of Words, where we explore storytelling in all its forms. I'm Rob.
I'm Kate.
And this week it's the first of our look at the His Northern Lights? His Dark Materials series by Philip Pullman.
It's going well so far.
It's really going well so far. So, a bit of backstory. I am reading this for the first time. I've only read Northern Lights. Kate is returning to the series.
Mm-hmm. I've read the whole series and some of Philip Pullman's other books, which I also enjoyed very much.
And this is also because the new book in the series is coming out the 18th, 19th of October.
Yes, which is later than I thought. I think maybe the publication date was moved because it was around my birthday, but it's now Thursday the 19th of October. So it's very exciting. So it gives us a little bit longer to read the whole series. So Rob, you're on the second one at the moment, The Subtle Knife, or have you not quite started that one yet?
I haven't quite started yet. It's going to be my next thing to read. But why don't you start off then, since you read it before me. When did you... Do you remember when you first read it?
So my mum got me a copy of Northern Lights in hardback when I was 13 or 14. When it came out, basically, either for my birthday or Christmas, I can't remember which off the top of my head, but I read the whole thing, absolutely loved it, thought it was amazing, and then my parents bought me The Subtle Knife and then The Amber Spyglass, again in hardback, as they came out over the next few years, and I devoured them. I guess they were sort of my Harry Potter, really. They were things that I would, if I had known about doing this sort of thing, if people did it at the time, I would have been there at midnight queuing up for them, sort of thing. They were, they're beautifully written, really sort of brilliant adventures, but very intelligent, have this brilliant girl as their main character who, like Philip Pullman was saying, she's not extraordinary, she's an ordinary girl. Some things she thinks are great, some things she's not particularly interested in, but I think it was so unusual to have a girl like that as the main character, who is just an ordinary person. I really loved it.
So I'd heard about this for quite a while. Harry Potter was my thing as I was growing up. But then a few years ago, I bought the big chunky hardback of all three books with the intention of going in and reading them. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that it was a chunky hardback of all three books probably put me off because it might have been a little bit intimidating. Mm. But I think I'd always been aware of this. And obviously there was a film version, which I haven't seen either.
I have seen. I wouldn't recommend it personally. The BBC are doing an adaptation, so I suspect that will probably be better.
And Philip Pullman was a name that I knew of, and I knew kind of that people very highly respected these three books, and that a lot of people held them close to their heart. But yeah, for me, it was all more about Harry Potter. The films came out, obviously I was reading them as the books, and possibly, I know it's not fair to compare them, but I think Potter is a world that's probably easier to get involved with as a fan. You know, you can be sorted into your houses, there's all...
This doesn't have all that sort of, you know, what house are you in, or it's not as fuzzy as Harry Potter. Like, there's quite a lot of funny bits in Harry Potter, and these are not particularly funny. They're pretty serious. There are absolutely wonderful characters, but they're not these sort of quite safe, friendly books. So, like, in Harry Potter, you've got, like, spiders and all sorts of magical creatures, and they're in this big castle that's also their school, and it's got, like, moving stairways and all, you know, which is, like, really exciting. But it is pretty safe.
Yeah.
That world. Whereas there are people in His Dark Materials who are doing properly bad things. And even people that you think are nice might be a bit more black and white than that, you know. So it is quite ambiguous. It's in some ways very grown up, but in other ways it's a very straightforward adventure to find out the truth about things. I think it's really wonderful though, and I think maybe you know, it looked a bit more intimidating because the first book is fairly chunky. But I know so many people who think this is just the most wonderful book.
And I did. I really enjoyed it. So we'll get into that in a moment. Do you want to do a brief plot synopsis for those people who haven't?
Sure. So,
and we're only talking about the first one, by the way.
Yeah. We won't go into the next ones yet. So the main character is a girl called Lyra, and she has an animal demon who I pronounce his name Pantalaimon, but I don't know if there is an official pronunciation. But anyway, so she is a little girl, and she lives sort of almost like an orphan. Like, she's just sort of living, and she's allowed to roam free and explore around a place called Jordan College in Oxford. Except this is not our Oxford. This is a bit like an alternative Oxford, like a kind of, like, there's bits that are recognisable and the general geography is sort of right, but there's also things that are not quite the same. And then you realise this is not our world. So she's friends with a boy called Roger, who's a kitchen boy, and she and he kind of roam around the college when he's not supposed to be working, and she doesn't really pay that much attention in her lessons, but she's very curious about things that do interest her. She knows all the scholars. She does have an uncle who comes to visit sometimes, but not very often, and she is scared of him, but she also hugely respects him because he's done amazing things and goes off and explores and so on. And then one day she has gone into a room she's not supposed to be in because it's like a master's study, and she hears people coming in, so she hides in a cupboard, and she overhears people plotting to kill her uncle, as well as them talking about an expedition that his uncle has been on up to the north, and finding a hole drilled in someone's head and all sorts of weird and strange things. And it basically sparks her curiosity. At one point she bursts out and knocks a drink out of her uncle's hand. So her uncle is sort of quite impressed with her ingenuity, although he does tell her off. And that sort of starts off this incredible adventure. You find out why Lyra is there on her own, why she's not with her parents. You find out that actually she's sort of part of a bigger story. And there's also lots to do with this sort of strange substance called dust, which is not, you know, just dust in your house. It's like a sort of strange glowing particle that comes down and glows around people.
This is dust with a capital D.
Yes. So there's all sorts of really interesting things going on. There's lots of mystery, lots of discovery. There's also some people doing some extremely horrible things in the quest to try to find out more about dust. Lots of different incredible characters. There's polar bears, there's hot air balloonists, there's witches, there's scientists, there's all sorts of people.
Yeah, so I guess I was going into this for the first time, and I'm also seeing, as the reader, you're also seeing things through Lyra's eyes. She's in this new world, so she's sort of this, she journeys through and learns, we're learning as well. So I thought it was a really good, great adventure. I thought the plot drives forward. I enjoyed that there are lots of ideas, and while I'm probably not 100% certain what's going on, there's this whole idea of other worlds and what exactly is dust. I thought, as a animal lover, the idea of having a demon is great. Wouldn't mind one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're a bit like, that did remind me a bit like having a Patronus that sort of emerges as an animal, but there's much more of a physical and mental connection there.
Yeah, they're like a part of you, and it's almost a bit like your conscience or something like that, but embodied externally. So rather than just having to think about things yourself, you can have a discussion with your demon, and they look out for you, and they're always there. They're always a part of you.
And sort of a metaphor, I guess, for growing up, for puberty, because it can change into anything it wants up until you're an adult, where it sort of settles in that form.
Mm-hmm.
It fixes to one shape, one creature.
Yeah, exactly.
I was very impressed with the writing. And also the ideas. I think when you read the first couple of Harry Potters, and I guess I'm going to have to continue to comparing these two. I think Pullman's, in this one, the writing is way better than
Rowling's. It really is.
I was almost impressed by that. I wasn't sure what age of child this is aimed at, really.
Kind of 12, 13, 14.
Yeah. It's dealing with some sort of big ideas. There are some nasty things that happen. It's giving religion a good prod. Mm. And sort of like organisations and things like that, because the colleges and the churches obviously representing bigger things in this world. I thought it was really imaginative. I honestly didn't know what was going to happen next. I only had a vague idea that they end up in the North Pole because they must see the Northern Lights at some point. I knew that there were kind of polar bears and witches, but how that all interconnected, I thought was great. Like I said, I think Lyra is a really great character. You really do root for her. I thought it was interesting. You know, they often say that boys don't want to read about girls, but she's incredibly courageous. She really fights for her friendship with Roger. She's trying to find her own place in the world because she is basically an orphan that's been left to run riot in the colleges, and they're trying to sort of... I knew there was something going on, and as the plot develops, you kind of realise that. But yeah, I was really impressed by this book. I guess that says what my expectations were. But yeah, I thought it was really well done.
Well, I think you don't often read a lot of books that are aimed at teenagers.
No.
You also probably haven't read many books that have a girl as the main character.
Probably not, no.
But then I suppose a bit like what I said earlier, when I first read it, it was so unusual to find a girl who had that much autonomy over herself, who was a really interesting, rounded character, but also didn't have to be amazing at everything. She wasn't like some perfect girl. And also, I mean, she's not really strong or really clever or really pretty or anything like that. She is just an ordinary person. And you get loads and loads of books that have boys in them that are like that.
Yeah.
But still, I don't think you have that many books where the girl is just ordinary, you know. But that is fine. And she is still the hero. She does have a particular talent, which emerges as the story unfolds, but that's something where, you know, she's not aware of it. She discovers it herself. She doesn't see it as making her special, you know, and other people do, but she doesn't, and it doesn't affect her. So yeah, for me, that was one of the first times where I'd read a female character who was like that. So, I mean, I think of, you know, there are, I read when I was younger lots of stories like kind of Robin Hood stories or King Arthur or things like that, and mainly because I really love those adventurous stories, but they were almost always men who were the main characters, and the women were to be rescued or just particularly beautiful or particularly good at something or whatever. Even in something like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, where they're young children and the girls are just as important as the boys, they still, you know, it still makes me cross where Father Christmas doesn't give them big swords and stuff like he gives the boys, because he says to them, but you are not to fight in the battle. I think, bloody hell, why not? You know, so there's all this sort of thing that really annoyed me. It was just such a revelation to read something where I thought, you know, this is a real person that you could hang out with.
And she goes and rescues people and she solves problems or sees a ways out that others haven't, and I thought that really was quite refreshing, whilst she's at the same time trying to work out what on earth's going on in this sort of strange world strange side of the world that she's found herself in.
And I mean, there are a lot more books now which do have female main characters who are like that. And I'm just sort of scanning my bookshelves to see if I can pick out some examples. One series that springs to mind is Mel Salisbury's The Sin Eater's Daughter, and then The Sleeping Prince and The Scarecrow Queen, because the main character in that, although she has been sort of trapped in, like, in the first book and had her autonomy taken away from her, but again, she's still the main character, she still makes things happen, she's still very sort of fierce, but then she's also an ordinary person, she doesn't get everything right, she tries things and they go wrong, she has to rely on other people and so on, which is great. There's also, Melanie Blackman's characters, who are, you know, even when they're in alternate universes and so on, are still kind of normal, ordinary people. There's more now, but yeah, at the time when I was reading it, there really didn't seem to be that much. But the best books are those ones where you have ordinary people managing to do extraordinary things, I think. Coming back to it, there was a lot, I have reread this before, this is not my first reread since I read it originally. I absolutely zipped through it, I think, because I wasn't having to come to it, not knowing, so I wasn't having to try and work things out as I went along. But it just reminded me how brilliant the writing is, actually, how there's so much suspense, how the different scenes are described. It just absolutely brings it to life for me. I think the description is really beautiful, but also the plotting is fantastic. The way he moves between different characters sometimes just works seamlessly, and I thought everyone was so believable, you know, that they often are not just, you know, scary or nice and friendly. There's sort of shades where you think this person's on your side, but they are still dangerous, and also people who will help you because it's the right thing to do at the time, but you know they're not going to sort of join an army with you or anything like that. You know, people are not completely reliable, and that just makes them more interesting, I think.
Oh yes, as like I said before, the way the plot moves along, for quite a hefty book, it didn't feel like that, and I was, by the end, I was getting completely absorbed into what was going on. There's this sort of counting down to a certain moment, and I'm trying not to talk about the ending too much, but things do come to the conclusion. There is a big battle, but when you think things are sort of resolved, they're almost not quite. Lyra finds out some things about herself and her family and her past that she's not particularly happy about, but it kind of all works towards a certain thing. And yeah, it was just the ideas and the concept, and perhaps, yeah, that's why I read it possibly a bit slow. I was trying to get involved in the world, and there are bits where it obviously is having to be explained to you. But yeah, I thought it was great, and obviously having Lyra discovering things for the first time is a way of getting around that point.
I really love the range of different people that she encounters in her travels. So one of the groups of people that she spends a lot of time with are a group of people called Gyptians, who are like water-based travellers, basically. So she meets them in Oxford. They come and moor up, and there's a horse fair each year. It tells you that, you know, like when she was young, she used to go and have battles with them in the clay beds, where they'd be lobbing clay at each other until they were all covered from head to toe. But it turns out they have a connection to her family that she wasn't aware of, that there's been someone looking out for her. And they're a really fascinating group of people. It's this whole sort of subculture that he creates. They have their sort of home in the Fens, which I really love that description of their sort of almost floating town is so beautiful, and this really strong culture that they have. Then there are also a whole culture of talking bears who live in Svalbard. Part of the reason that I've always sort of thought it'd be amazing to go there. I know they're not really there now, but you know, that's really interesting. There are sort of whole cultures, and you only meet a few of each sort of person, but you feel like you are immersed in their society. Learn so much from it so quickly, or about it rather. And I think that shows the skill of his writing, that you feel like you learn how each set of people's world works. Or if you don't completely, then there's a good reason for it. Like the witches are very mysterious, but then they're witches, so I think that's fair enough. I think it's so interesting and so immersive, and it only gets deeper and wider and more immersive as the series continues. So I'm really excited for you to read the next one to see what you think of it.
Yeah, as am I. I sort of expected this to be my entry in, and it certainly zips along, but I'd like to know more about the setup of the world and things like that. I mean, like we said, it's not quite similar to our own. Again, Harry Potter is set in our time, but there's a whole sort of side of things that are invisible to us muggles, where this is a totally different sort of setup, but yet it still feels familiar enough for you to go with it, for you to accept it. So yes, the next one is
The Subtle Knife.
For some reason I keep getting those the wrong way around. But yes.
Well, you'll definitely learn a bit more about how the different worlds thing works in that one.
Mm-hmm.
There are some new characters, and there's like a new continuing character who will be introduced.
Right. So you had to obviously wait in between.
We did. Yes.
And how long was that? A couple of years? Because
I think a year or so.
This does end on a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yes, it does. Yeah, so I had to wait quite a while. I think at least a year until the next one. But now I just remember, because I've reread them a number of times, like rereading all through. Rereading the first one before reading the second one, rereading the first two before reading the third one, and then rereading all three. Because they're just brilliant. They're just so interested and multi-layered. I think they're amazing. And I also, in the meantime, investigated Pullman's other books. So he's got a great series that are set in Victorian times. Starts with The Ruby and the Smoke.
Right.
That's right.
Which was made into a TV show as well.
Oh yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. But that's a set of four books, and they're really good. So I definitely recommend those. And he's written some contemporary novels as well. I was sort of investigating his other things while I was waiting. But also, I read other things that were not completely dissimilar. Some kind of Ursula Le Guin and other sort of sci-fi type things as well. And other magical things. Jenny Nimmo's books for older teenagers are really good and have a sort of similar feeling to them, that they're in our world, but not quite. So, there were quite a few other things that were published around the same time that I was reading in between.
Well, I think I'm going to start on the next one tomorrow. So we'll be back to talk about the next one soon, and we'll be back again next week to talk about probably what we've been reading.
Yes, yeah. a bit of a catch up on what we've been reading lately, and maybe, because we haven't done it yet, maybe a bit of Booker chat.
Yes, we should do that. So do let us know your thoughts if you've read Northern Lights. Don't spoil the others for me, please, if you have. You can send us an email, contactadventureswithwords.com. You can send us a tweet at Word Adventures. We're also on Facebook. And if you head over to the blog, you can also leave us a voicemail as well.
We hope to hear from you. So the rest of the time, you can find us on various different social media platforms.
If you want to follow me during the week on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and a few other things, I'm at Rob Chilver.
If you would like to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, I'm magic_kitten.
And thank you for listening.